as said, I think everybody here knows me, so I don't have to repeat my name, but I will anyway. Sarah Carr Jordan, and I am a licensed Unity teacher right here at Unity Church of Lane. Just know it is my pleasure and my honor to speak before you today. You know, it looks like the church is swinging on this side. There's so many over here. But I am blessed to see my family. Oh, it looks like a reunion in the audience. Thank you, God. My goodness. As you know, this is a Labor Day weekend. It's also an unofficial end of summer. And holiday weekend, just in the 1st of September. Oh, it's just, as the sun is shining, she said, the song says, here comes the sun. It's a beautiful day today. And especially because all of you are here. Thank you. I'd like to start off with a joke. The father said, he was talking to his son, and his son said, Father, I just got my license and I'm asking you to let me drive your car. The father said, if you bring your grades up, study the Bible, and get your hair cut, you can use the car. About 1 month later, the young man asked his father about using the car again. The father said, Son, I'm so proud of you. You have brought your grades up. You've studied the Bible every day. But you haven't gotten your hair cut. The son said, all the men I read about in the Bible had long hair. Moses, Joshua, Samuel, Peter, James, John, and Jesus. The father said, yes. And they walked everywhere they went. Today I will be talking to you about the Beatitudes. Some of you know about that. The term Beatitudes come from a Latin noun, which means happiness. Metaphysically, they represent attitudes of being, states of mind. The Beatitudes are biblical sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. Some of you may have heard of the Sermon on the Mount. It begins when Jesus went up into the mountain. He sat down and began to speak to his disciples. These Beatitudes, of which there are eight, and starts with the word blessed. To bless is to confer prosperity or invoke good upon. In other words, metaphysically, to allege positive spiritual energy, to call forth the action, to call forth the action of God. I'll read the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. I have given you a handout, so you have it there in front of you. I will speak to each one individually and give you some understanding. A point to understand is that the Bible is written in terms and expressions that are different from everyday usage. So therefore, I'll give you some meaning of words as we go along. Know that when you hear the word blessed in these Beatitudes, a wonderful blessing of promise is being made, telling us what will happen to us if we condition our mind to the full acceptance of the attitudes, telling us all the good that will come to us if we understand and live by these amazing attitudes of being. As I talk about the Beatitudes, note that you are in the process of a spiritual journey. It will be a spiritual transformation for many of you and me. Jesus was showing his disciples what to be and how to think. These attitudes are a series of attitudes of being, states of mind, promising definite results that follow certain inner changes that will occur. When Jesus spoke, he was not speaking of conforming. He was speaking of transforming. This is what Paul reflected on in Romans 12:2, where he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable and perfect." Once instructions are laid out for you, it's up to you to begin putting them into faithful practice. That is, if you want results. It is also up to you if you choose to return to your old beliefs and ways of thinking. You have the perfect liberty to do so. It's up to you to be willing to become as a little child and teachable. Now, the first beatitude says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit has nothing to do with lacking of money or possessions. Someone poor in spirit lacks the realization that there is a higher dimension of life, or that there's more to life than material things, wealth, luxuries, or degrees or higher education. Not that these things are bad. To be poor in spirit is to be poor in pride, to be humble. Blessed are those who can let go of the attempt to understand intellectually, who can accept the deep things of spirit as a little child. A person cannot or will not look into or study spiritual possibilities until they recognize something more important than wealth, possessions, and or education. Having a nagging sense that the material world alone is not enough is the first step on the path to the kingdom. That is why the poor in spirit is so blessed. They have awakened to a spiritual poverty that will enable them to experience their oneness with all that God is. Know that the kingdom of heaven, metaphysically, is within man. It is a state of consciousness in which mind, soul, and body are in harmony with divine mind. That is God mind. Blessed are the poor in spirit who are receptive to the flow of good through them and who acknowledge God as the source of that good. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The second beatitude is, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Mourning and sorrow within itself is not a good thing. Be the will of God is that everyone should experience happiness and joyous success. Sooner or later, every human being will have to discover the truth about God, and make contact with him firsthand. Most people will not take it upon themselves to seek or understand spiritual truth until driven to do so because of trouble or some sorrow or failure. In this instance, sorrow may be a good thing, for a blessing may occur from the desperation of the sorrow that they're willing to let go of. Be aware that every letting go gives rise to a deep sense of grief. Not just the letting go we call death, but even the most joyful release of negative attitudes or possessions. Each time we let go of something familiar, we trigger a sense of grief. The truth of this is familiar to us who have experienced an intense sense of grief. I know I have. When I stopped smoking, it was difficult. It felt awful. I know that if a family member, it felt as if a family member or someone was dying. It was horrible. If you've ever tried giving up smoking, it is awful. It just felt like friends or somebody, something was going on. I was grieving that process of losing, releasing that addiction until finally I was comforted. And I began to just feel good. Blessings did occur for me. My health got better. I began to save money. I have mourned many times over perceived losses, big and small. I'm sure some of you have too. And of course, a blessing has come as a result of that. It's our human nature to grieve any familiarity, a relationship, an attitude, a job. Even if we're unhappy with how things are, we grieve the release or letting go. Nevertheless, the only way to avoid grief is to never let go of anything. And this means we are closing the door to all spiritual growth. The path to spiritual understanding and enlightenment requires us to mourn or to release. Let go of old beliefs, old customs. Make inward changes as we recognize and honor our grief, as we continue to mourn through it. Then we are led from a sense of loss to an acceptance of God's will, an openness to new spiritual opportunities, leading us to comfort and joy. The next beatitude is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Jesus is not talking about meekness as an approach to people. He's referring to an attitude towards God. Jesus was meek towards God. As in John 5 and 30, he knew that I can of myself, I of my own self can do nothing. Jesus said that. I know that as humans, we don't generally consider meekness as an admirable trait. We think of the meek as those who don't assert themselves. They avoid conflict at all costs, not wanting to upset anyone. It may seem that to be meek is to live in a state of weakness, of surrender to stronger forces. Know this, surrender is actually what is required. As we become enlightened and go about our spiritual journey, we surrender our own limited power to the power greater than ourselves, and recognize that divine power, God power, that can carry us to our greatest possibility, our greatest good, that we can never reach on our own. Fighting and struggling to have things go your way is working in the wrong way. We need to plug in and let the divine activity of light and love express through us to do things the right way at the right and perfect time. God mind gives us perfect ideas. The meek or receptive mind invites God ideas. The meek consciousness is not self-centered, it's God-centered. Let us realize that the great source of wisdom is intuition. The great source of vision is insight. The great source of power is inborn spiritual power. Another word here needing definition is earth, meaning the whole of our outer experience. To inherit the earth means to have dominion over the outer experiences, meaning to have power to bring our conditions and challenges of life into harmony. We're trying to conquer the world on our own power, but now that we understand, by surrendering, we inherit the earth. We achieve our greatest good by not struggling and fighting for it, but by allowing the power of God within us to carry us to the good that is our birthright. The next beatitude is, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In our study of Jesus' teaching, we have to remember Jesus is dealing with states of mind. And as used here, the word righteousness simply means right thinking. Many have thoughts that righteousness means living by a religious code, going to church, carrying a prayer book or Bible under your arm, and maybe doing all the things that perform a formal appearance of religious beliefs. That's not what Jesus meant by righteousness. Jesus was dealing with attitudes. It is right attitudes that make the successful man. No matter what your need, you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A right attitude is the key to any desired good. However, Jesus is saying, you must be hungry. You may desire healing, you may affirm life and wholeness for yourself, but you must hunger and thirst for health. Want it to the exclusion of all else. Want it enough to let go of your feeling of self-pity and the satisfaction that comes through sympathy and attention of others. To hunger and thirst for righteousness is to want to be helped and healed to the extent of renewing the mind. If a person is in the gutter, the only way out is to look up and reach for something higher. He can be helped. He can rise out of the gutter of life, but he must begin thinking out of the gutter. Out of the gutter thoughts. If man is experiencing sickness, he must begin to reach, and to reach is actually accepting. Jesus' teaching is that man is a divine creature. The potential for wholeness is forever with man and within man. Like a drowning man wants air. Help and healing are a matter of man's faith and vision, his desire and acceptance, his hunger and thirst after righteousness. God cannot feed us if we're not hungry enough to seek, to knock, to ask. When we do, we will be satisfied. The promise is they shall be filled. Blessed, the next attitude is blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This attitude reveals the law of consciousness. If you want to be loved, you must love. If you want friends, you must be friendly. You want just treatment, you must be just. Life is lived from within out. You may not always be able to change the world about you, but you can change your thoughts about the world. Many of us are inclined to think, if this or that would happen, I would be happy. If my boss would just get off of my back, my wife would just stop nagging me, or my husband would fix this or that. We have to decide the kind of world we want to experience, the kind of friends, the success we want to achieve, what we want to manifest in our homes, in our neighborhood, and begin to think the kind of thoughts that will draw them to you by the irresistible force of consciousness or awareness. The thing that really matters is that you be merciful in your thoughts. Kind actions coupled with unkind thoughts are hypocrisy, are insincerity caused by some fear or desire of self-glory or some other motive. Kind actions with kind actions with unkind thoughts are counterfeit. And they bless neither the giver nor the recipient. Amen. On the other hand, the true thought about the fellow man blesses him mentally, spiritually, and materially. And it blesses you also. Let us be merciful in our mental judgment of our brother. For in truth, we are all one. Amen. And the more deeply our brother seems to err and fall short of the mark, the more urgent it is the need for us to help him with the right thought. And so make it easy for him to get free from his error. When your fellow man's delinquency comes to your notice, remember the Christ in him is calling out for help to you because you are enlightened. So be merciful. Build that into your consciousness. Build mercy into your consciousness. The next beatitude is, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The promise in this beatitude is nothing less than to see God. We know that God has no physical body. Therefore, we know there's no question of seeing God in the ordinary physical sense as a human being or an object. To see God in the sense referred here signifies spiritual perception. We live in God's world, but we all do not know it as it is. Heaven lies all about us. It is not a distant locality, afar off in the sky, but all around us now. We are lacking in spiritual perception. We are unable to recognize or experience it. Heavens is the religious name for presence of God. This beatitude suggests a tremendous insight that will be yours when you develop an inward purity of thought. Lift up your eyes and get your thoughts centered on the good, the true, and the beautiful, and you will see God. This requires discipline of thought, for it can be difficult to see beauty in ugliness, life in sickness, or abundance in poverty. To lift up your eyes means to turn from the part to the whole. God is a whole of which man is a part. Man is made in the image and likeness of God. So every part contains the essence and therefore the potential of the whole. When you are pure in heart, you are established in spiritual principle. You view all things from God consciousness. You are pure in heart when you are totally convinced that there is only one presence and one power, God, the good, omnipotent. Then you see God everywhere. You see good everywhere. When you see things that way, you are seeing things not as they are, but as you are. Man is not in the world to set it right, but to see it rightly. Jesus saw God or good in all men. The next beatitude: blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. We are all children of God because we are spiritual beings. John 4 and 24 says, God is spirit. Therefore, we are children of God in spirit. As I have said before, we are made in the image and likeness of God. This is the truth of who we are, and it's always true whether or not we recognize it or remember it or express it or even act like it in our lives. To know and feel the power of God in the heart of our being, and we have to believe that we have divine potential, and that will come through prayer and meditation. That's what gets us there. To become peacemakers, we must call ourselves children of God. Take the action step and call yourself a child of God. Affirm that you are a divine in potential and declare that you are a spiritual being with the potential for peace, for harmony, and overcoming within you at all times. To keep your light turned on at all times, you have to affirm, I am a radiating center of divine light, life, and wisdom. Call yourself a child of God and believe it, and become a true peacemaker. As we know and feel this divine power in our heart, people and conditions all around us will become more peaceful, more energized in love, simply because of our presence. And in that new energy, people will see us and themselves as the children of God we all are. Peace can only come when men become receptive to it and become peacemakers in the process of expressing it from within out. The next beatitude: blessed are they that have been persecuted. This is the last beatitude. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall reproach you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they, the prophets, before you. Now let's face it. There are challenges to living the right and righteous way. A youngster who is ridiculed by his less principled friends because he will not engage in petty thievery is being persecuted for righteousness' sake. A woman is required to engage in certain practices by an unscrupulous employer. She refuses, and as a result, she's dismissed. She's been persecuted for righteousness' sake. Mm-hmm. Let's understand here, there is a deeper, more meaningful application of this beatitude. The emphasis is on attitudes. It deals with our thinking, the persecution takes place within our own mind. And the persecutor is a roaming thought of our own mind. The beatitude has been wrongly seen as a promising reward after death for pain and persecution suffered in life. It has been used down through the ages as a spiritual mind control through which people have been encouraged to accept without question conditions of poverty and oppression in this lifetime by quoting the promise of eternal happiness in heaven. Know that this is not what Jesus is saying. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is at hand. He also said it is within us. He clearly meant us to experience the kingdom of heaven in these bodies in this lifetime. The essential character of the teaching of Jesus is that the will of God for us is harmony, peace, and joy. And we can obtain these things by cultivating right thoughts or righteousness. Jesus tells us again and again that it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And the way in which we are to receive it is by nourishing, promoting sincerity, serenity, and calmness. Or bringing peace of soul by right thinking. To repent simply means changing our minds to do the right thing. Whenever you set a course of righteousness or right thinking, you begin a program of discipline and self-restraint. You will always run into conflicting tendency of your own fixed thoughts. There's a type of mental inertia that resists any kind of change. But most likely, when you take your stand in truth of God mind and start into a program of self-improvement by self-realization and discipline your thought, you will experience the slings and arrows of human consciousness pulling against you. Jesus is saying, don't worry about this. And by all means, don't fight it. You are blessed because the persecution represents the first reaction to the external force. And that force is of divine origin. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Jesus is saying this beatitude. You have put your hand to the plow, so don't look back. You are on your way. And the inward persecution of the warring thoughts of human mind prove it. Press on. Press on past that is pulling you against your humanity to to the releasement of your divinity. Stay focused and stay on the path of spiritual enlightenment. Let's get ready to pray. We begin with the Lord's Prayer, as given to us by Jesus Christ. Together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now let us settle into a state of meditation by relaxing. Comfortable in your seats. You may choose to close your eyes or lower your eyes or even watch the Christ candle up front. As you become aware of your breath, breathing in and breathing out, as we go from our head to that heart space where we connect with the divine within. Continue breathing in and breathing out, relaxing into a state of oneness. Let my words be your words. I choose to focus on just being, centering myself on the loving energy of the Christ presence within. I open my heart to new spiritual possibilities. I know I achieve my greatest good not by struggling or fighting for it, but by allowing the power of God within to carry me to the good that is my birthright. I enjoy my human life as the spiritual experience it is eternally meant to be. I am peaceful and serene as I rest in knowing that I have inborn ability to fulfill my spiritual purpose. We now go forth into our day, slowly opening our eyes, seeing our lives and our world more aware of all that is good and right and holy. And I am grateful. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you so much, Sarah. So much. So much spiritual food. Thank you so much. And I forgot to mention that another very important, Sarah's also one of our chaplains. So that's like the top of the list for me. So anyway, thank you. Okay, well now is the time in our service when you're invited to share your financial gifts with this ministry. So if you brought something with you, you can put it in your hand and we have our special offering blessing. There we go. Okay, together,
divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive.
Thank you, God.
Yes.
Is someone coming up here?
With a song that, you know, I mind the pop world all the time looking for songs, because there's so many songs in the pop world, R&B world, that really speak about the same thing you're talking about. And this one also happens to be a good dance song, but I love its message.